Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Friday, May 20th. Today, Colorado's rafting industry plunged into one of its hardest seasons in 2020 before riding higher than ever in 2021. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Pinnacle Assurance. Pinnacle Assurance provides workers' comp insurance and was recently named one of the most community-minded companies in Colorado for the third year in a row. Last year, Pinnacle donated $1.5 million in grants, donations, and scholarships to communities across the state. Learn more about how Pinnacle puts care to work at pinnacle.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day, in 1996, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision in the case of Romer v. Evans. In a 6-3 ruling, it invalidated an amendment to the Colorado State Constitution. That provision had inspired the nickname Hate State for its attitude toward gender minorities. Colorado voters leaned conservative in 1992, passing Amendment 2, which forbade local governments from adopting special protections for people with, quote, homosexual, lesbian, or bisexual orientation, conduct, practices, or relationships. The electorate adopted Amendment 2 by a 53% to 47% majority, negating ordinances already approved in Denver, Boulder, and Aspen, and forbidding future measures that might grant non-heterosexual Coloradans distinct rights. A legal challenge emerged quickly, rising to the highest court in the land 3 years after the measure's adoption. Democratic Governor Roy Romer found himself forced to defend a voter-approved measure that he opposed personally. Romer v. Evans proved a significant step toward greater acceptance of diverse genders. In 2018, voters elected Jared Polis as governor, the first openly gay man to hold the office, and a choice that reflected how far the once hate state had come. Now, a quick message from our sponsors, the Colorado Education Association. The Colorado Education Association is made up of more than 39,000 educators across Colorado, all working together in a strong union to make sure students get the exceptional public schools they deserve. Learn more about CEA by visiting coloradoea.org. Next, our feature story. Colorado's rafting industry plunged into one of its hardest seasons in 2020 before riding higher than ever in 2021, hosting a record number of rafters. Numbers are still being finalized, but the Colorado River Outfitters Association expects that commercial river trips taken last year total around 625,000. This year, that number is likely to fall with minimal snowpack and economic pressures affecting water conditions and people's ability to road trip to rafting sites. Outdoors writer Jason Blevins talks to Erica Brunlin about this summer's forecast for the rafting industry and the enormous economic impact that outdoor recreation has on Colorado.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for taking time to talk to us today.
Hey, Erica. How's it going?
So, Jason, Colorado's rafting industry has had quite the turbulent ride the last few years. Take us through what happened to the industry in 2020 when the number of visitors to rafting companies plummeted.
Yeah, that was a very significant drop in 2020. Everything fell in 2020, right? What a horrible, horrible year, especially for service kind of oriented businesses in Colorado. So certainly the rafting industry was not immune to that sort of national, international trend. And they saw, tremendous dip, the lowest sort of number of commercial rafters on Colorado rivers in 2020 since 2002. So almost a 20-year low point. And 2002 was obviously wildfires, droughts. It was a very poor, bad year, real low water in the rivers. So sort of a trifecta of issues really rained down on the rafting industry last year in 2020.
Wow. And now last year in 2021, you report that the rafting industry really came roaring back with a record number of rafters. As you write in your story, Jason, the Colorado River Outfitters Association tallied close to 620,000 commercial river trips on 20 Colorado rivers last summer. So what happened there? How did the rafting industry bounce back with such force?
It was a huge year, the highest they've ever posted, this rafting industry. And they're not even done counting all the rivers. So when this is all done, there could be 625,000, they're saying. But that's an all-time high and nearly 200,000 visit increase over 2020. A bunch of factors came into play. One, there's just your typical bounce back from you know, pandemic lockdown, right? Like everybody wanted to get out. Oh my gosh, we're free. We're going out. And two, there were some pretty loose school schedules, you know, as you know well, in that May and June of 2021. And that really opened up vacation windows for folks going rafting. So you talk to these rafting outfitters, they saw just, you know, July level traffic in May, July level traffic in June, you know, and really strong August. You know, typically they sort of ramp up in May, get a little busier in June, have a banger July, and then taper off in August. Last year, 2021, it was just pinned, you know, every month for 4 months, you know, a huge season. And the flows were good. We had a pretty good snowpack. We had a pretty good weather system kind of lining up to you know, keep flows consistent and strong throughout the season. So it was really a perfect alignment and, you know, an anomaly. You know, I wrote last week too, we saw a record number of skier visits in 21-22 season, you know, and the same kind of reasons. You know, people had broader windows with which to go skiing. You know, a lot of people working from home and able to squeeze in a couple hours to go skiing here or there. You know, so we're seeing those schedules kind of, you know, work schedules. Maybe you're not going to be quite as, I don't know, open for midweek skiing going forward as the, you know, work from home trend kind of fades away. We maybe return to more typical work schedules and more typical things like that. So there's kind of wondering if we're going to see that same level of demand in 2022 for the rafting season that they saw last year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch what happens. Now, your sources are anticipating that this year's rafting season will have less demand, which they say isn't necessarily a bad thing, as companies will be better positioned with their labor to handle a little bit less demand. What environmental and economic factors are setting the stage for this year's slightly slower rafting season?
Well, one, that, you know, obviously a little bit less demand as people kind of shuffle back into a normal summer vacation schedule. But two, and this is probably playing a bigger role in what this demand is going to look like, we're seeing really bad snowpack, and it's just going away incredibly rapidly, like by the hour. That insane warm wind that we had last week just decimated snowpack. You know, you're looking down there at that Rio Grande, San Miguel, down south, at 2% of normal. 30% of normal in the Gunnison drainage, you know, really, really rough. That might change a little bit when we get this storm that's coming in the next couple of days, but generally pretty bad looking snowpack. And that does not bode well for the rafting season. All that water is going to come down. We got a lot of dust from that storm coming in from Arizona and Utah, caking the snow that hastens the snowmelt. Everything's going to come down really quick, predicting an early peak for flows and then a trickle down. So that's going to be a challenge and for, you know, creating raftable flows in Colorado's rivers. And then, you know, there's a little bit of an economic factor. We're obviously kind of entering an inflationary period. Gas prices are really high. Are we going to see the same amount of folks going on these, you know, long drive vacations that we saw last year? So a number of factors, a number of issues are kind of coming together. And, you know, rafting it's not as big as skiing, but it is a good chunk of the summer kind of economic tourism industry in Colorado. You know, people go rafting, also go camping, and they do a lot of other things. But rafting is, you know, one of the big appeals for Colorado summer tourism, and especially in like the upper Arkansas River Valley between Buena Vista and Canyon City. That's just a huge, huge business there in that valley.
On that note, Jason, there's a real economic impact here. You know, rafting is a whole lot more than just rivers and rapids. Tell us more about the economic analysis of rafting in the upper Arkansas River Valley and the economic impact that has on counties and local workforces.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we're talking, you know, in Colorado, tourism and outdoor recreation is a major economic driver, a pillar of the entire industry. And in that small segment in Chaffee and Fremont counties, rafting is very, very important. $41 million impact in a recent study. All the outfitters in the Upper Ark Valley have gotten together and they're trying to really quantify how rafting impacts their local economies. And they're finding that, you know, it can make up as much as a fifth of the entire, you know, kind of service and tourism-based industry in those counties. And that's a big chunk. And, you know, it employs a lot of people full-time. It drives, you know, this huge economic engine. And the idea there with this study, they just studied it for the first time in 2020. They're studying it again this year, and they will study it again next year. So they'll have a three-year glimpse. And that glimpse is going to be really interesting because it will likely have the worst year in 20 years, 2020, the best year in history, 2021, and then what will probably be an average to below average year this year with, you know, some flow issues. But the idea is that these kind of studies, this ability to quantify what the economic impact of outdoor recreation is a very big force in all of outdoor recreation. I'm in Crested Butte right now at the Colorado Outdoor Industry Leadership Summit, and we're hearing all these people talking about, you know, the importance of outdoor recreation in rural economic development scenarios, ways to grow outdoor recreation as an economic driver, especially as communities maybe fade away from, you know, the Upper Ark Valley used to be a railroad valley. Obviously, it's not a railroad valley anymore. It's a tourism, rafting, second homeowner, artist, you know, ranching. It's multifaceted economy. And the idea is with these studies is you're able to take a glimpse and say, look, one CFS of water in the Arkansas River is the equivalent to X amount of dollars when it comes to people going and rafting and then going to a hotel and then going out to eat and then buying stuff in shops. So there's this whole ripple effect, pun intended, of water in the Arkansas River. And these new studies, it's a small one, but it's part of a growing trend that as we try to quantify outdoor recreation, it's going to be, you know, we are finding as these numbers come in that outdoor recreation is a tremendous economic driver in a lot of these rural communities.
Yeah, wow. It's clear that the outdoor recreation industry is such an economic engine for this state. Well, thank you, Jason, as always, for keeping us updated on the outdoors.
Of course. Thanks, Erica.
For more on this story, visit us at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. New COVID infections began increasing 2 months ago, and they remain on the rise. Colorado is now up to reporting around 1,500 new cases per day, the most the state has seen since February. Daily average infection counts have grown by 1,200 cases since infections first started jumping in late March, about half the number logged during the peak of the wave caused by the Delta variant and one-tenth of what Colorado saw during the Omicron variant surge in the winter. Modelers estimate the current COVID wave will peak sometime in mid to late June, depending on how effective the current variants are at getting around immunity from prior infections or vaccination. Hands of the Carpenter, a Golden-based nonprofit that provides affordable cars, repairs, and maintenance to single mothers in the Denver area, opened its second location this month in Aurora. The 20-year-old nonprofit currently helps around 250 mothers per year, and its second site will double the number of women it can help each year. An estimated 30,000 working, single women live on limited incomes within the new Aurora location service area. The organization hopes to open two more locations in the Denver area in the next 5 to 7 years. Centaurus High School chemistry teacher and track coach Eddie Taylor last week joined the first all-black American team to summit Mount Everest. The historic May 12th summit endeavor saw several members of the Nine Mountaineer Full Circle Everest team reach the summit, nearly doubling the number of black climbers who have stood atop that summit. The Full Circle Everest team trained and raised money for more than a year and spent 6 weeks in Nepal preparing for the climb. Through its expedition, the team aimed to encourage more people of color to explore the outdoors and set their own ambitious goals. Now they hope their success will help diversify and grow the outdoor recreation industry. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.